I'm going to just lay it down tonight because the Lord changed it on the plane while I was coming over. I had this really cool message that God gave me, and it's still cool, and I'll do it tomorrow, but evidently the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing, and He's tying things together, and He's speaking to you guys, and so I'm going to coach you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Are you coachable?
Yes.
Are you sure? He wants me to talk to you about a subject that's not real popular in preaching. And I don't think it's preached enough personally. I'm sure it is preached. But after being a coach on every level from high school, college, and professional, and have been to every level as far as championships go as a player and a coach, I knew the things, and God blessed me, and I gave Him the glory for it. But I knew, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you because of all the hard work and everything. I'm telling you, I knew what it took to be a champion in the natural, in the sports. There's many men and women who know how to be a champion in business. And they can relate it because it's all biblical. But I'm going to tell you about something that Christians need, and especially this young generation. God wants you to learn how to endure. Everybody say endure.
Endure.
Enduring. Enduring. He doesn't just want you to. He needs you to endure. I want you to know right now that champions, all champions endure. They know how to endure. When the Spurs won it this year, whoever your team or whatever championship team wins it, guess what they talk about? What they endured through that season. They endured hardships and pressures and injuries and different things. But you want to know why they're champions? Because they endured. They didn't quit. Now, there's a definition to enduring that I found. And it says this. It says, to continue on without sinking to pressure. Now, you know what the Bible says Jesus did? He endured the cross. Oh, you didn't hear me. Jesus endured. Is Jesus a champion to you?
Yeah.
Every champion knows how to endure. Let me tell you something. As long as you live on this earth and you breathe, you're going to have to endure. People don't like to hear that, but you're going to have to. A good coach will coach you and tell you you're going to have to be able to endure. You're going to have to learn how to endure and understand why you have to endure. But Jesus endured the cross. That means what? He continued on without sinking to pressure. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
That's it. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for enduring and not sinking to pressure. Now, if Jesus did it, we can do it.
Right.
Now, I want everybody's eyeballs up here. No texting, no writing, no nothing. On this one. The Lord showed me two charts. And He showed this to me years ago, and I've not really ever preached it. And so I'm going to show it to you now. And He said, you are one of these two charts. Your life will be one of these two charts. And the first chart He showed me, if you can imagine a chart, like a business chart, a graph, and the beginning, it starts out, and it's just growing, 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 and then it hits a peak, and then it goes down. And then it goes back up. And then it hits that peak again, and it goes down. And then it goes back up. Well, by the end of the chart, you're at the same place you were when you started. Now, if that chart was my chart in coaching at the college or professional or even high school level, if that was my result, we had some good seasons, we had some bad seasons, I would get fired, right? You're going to get fired. In today's world, you're going to get fired. If you're in the business world, you're going to get fired. Not a lot of production. True or false? Same place. But the Bible says to what? Go from faith to faith and glory to glory. God created you that way. Now He showed me, now on that chart, the very point where it started to go down, I saw the word pressure. There was pressure that came and then it went down. And then they build you back up. This may be you as a Christian. Maybe it's your youth leader or whatever, your parents or prayer or the Bible or the word or whatever, and you build back up and then you come again and pressure comes again. Pressure, hardship times. Oh man, here it comes. The enemy with everything he's got. Back down, back down, back down. And then it goes back up, and you get built back up, and then a lot of Christians are living this life right here, all right? Now, he showed me another one. This one was very interesting. The chart started out, and then it hit that spot, and it says pressure. And then, instead of going down, now stay with me, the line went straight. It went straight. So it went here, it didn't go up, and it didn't go down. It went straight. And it said pressure right there. And then it went up. And then it went straight again. And then went it up. And then on that straight line, he said, that's enduring.
Come on.
Yeah. That's the enduring time. When that pressure and hardship, if anybody knew this, it was Paul who knew how to endure. Right? Have you read the Bible? It's a good book. It'll really bless you. Now, the Lord shows me those two verses, or those two charts, and he backs them with these verses. So let's look in the Word about this. Let's first look at James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 in the Amplified. Let's look at the Amplified. And then we're going to go to the King James. Praise the Lord. Oh, here it is. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort. Now, isn't that interesting? Count it all joy is what the King James said. When any trial or any encounter of any pressure or sort fall into various temptations. Click. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out what? The proving of your faith bring out what? During that time of pressure, and it comes, and you're staying there, you're standing, and what you know is going to prove your faith, you're going to endure in a steadfast and patience. Click. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Now, that's the person who's going off of the chart. But there is going to be those times when the enemy comes. Don't come up to me and say, pray for me that the devil doesn't bother me. I'm going to have to pray that you die. Because as long as you're on this earth, you're going to have an enemy. And there's going to be times you're going to have to endure. And all champions endure. Jesus endured. Now, if this young generation can get a hold of this, and you can remember those charts when that pressure comes, I'm not going back down. I'm sticking with it. I'm holding fast to my confession and everything I know. And then I'm going to, what's going to happen next? Then you're going to mature, fully develop, and grow. Amen. Amen. Are y'all seeing this or not? Okay, let's look at this in the King James. Because the Lord said to me when he showed me those charts, he said, when you endure, everybody look at me. He said, when you endure, you mature. And it's time for the church to mature. Paul talked about it all the time. Immature, come on. Come on, you're like kids with milk. Let's go, grow up. My brethren, count it all joy. Say joy.
Joy.
Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. See, now that doesn't make sense. When pressure and any kind of temptation comes, who feels like joy? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Joy is not just the emotion of it. Joy is not just the I'm going to run and dance and jump. And that's the result of joy. Joy is what you know. Everybody say joy,
joy.
Is what you know.
Joy.
Now, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Click. What's the very first word?
Knowing.
Everybody say knowing. Joy is what you know. If you can't count it all joy in any temptation or pressure or anything that comes against you from the enemy if you don't know. If there's no knowing, you can't count it joy. You can't. That's why you're looking at it going, man, you're crazy. You want me to be joyful now? I can't. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know the pressures I'm going through. Count it all joy, knowing. Oh, that's a key word right there. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Click. But let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, let's look at Romans 5, verse 3 through 4. In the Amplified. Are y'all ready? Now, notice how these are similar. Watch this. Moreover, let us also be full of what? Joy. Here it is again. Now. Everybody say now.
Now.
When's now?
Right now?
How about now?
Now.
Just then?
Now.
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 In other words,
now. So now.
All the time. So when should you be full of joy? All the time. Let us exult and triumph in your trouble. That don't make sense. Woo! I got a lot of trouble. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in your sufferings. Oh, come on. Let's get real. I remember reading that going, come on, God. Really? Yeah, really? Moreover, let us be full of joy now. Let us exult, triumph in our troubles, and rejoice in our suffering. What's the next word?
Knowing.
Huh. Knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship produces patience and an unswerving endurance. Woo! You keep your joy, huh, and you will endure. Now watch, click. Now, I'm getting ready to tell you something. There's something better than faith. Cricket. I'm surprised Brother Hagin just didn't come back. There's something better than faith. Oh, yeah. Faith? That's good, but there's something better than faith. You're getting ready to read about it. And you know what gets it? Endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity. Remember what God told me? When you endure, you mature. You know what he's talking about? The chart. It's time for you to go off the charts. God created you to go off the charts. He doesn't want you to live like this anymore. He didn't create you to live like this anymore. Pressures are going to come to you at your age like, oh, are you kidding me? Whoo! You probably heard all the stats from Steve. Steve's the stat man. He's got the stats. And you're in Pressure City right now. Some of you are the mayor of Pressure City. Temptations and trials, and here they come. Peer pressure and all of this stuff coming at you. But here's what the Lord said about it. You're going to have to endure. Now, an endurance will develop maturity. Oh, that means you've endured. Now, guess what? You're going to mature. You're going to go to the next level. A maturity of character. Everybody say the next two words. Approved faith. The Greek word is dokeo. It's approved faith and tried. That's proven faith. That means you got faith that's been tested and you passed the test. That's Abraham faith. God wrote a whole chapter in Hebrews bragging on the Hall of Fame. Of what? Approved, tested, tried. They endured. They're champions of faith. So when you're in that position, endure, maintain, stick with it. Stick with it. Don't let it go. Don't give up. What did you say to me in there? Never quits. Endurance. Endurance never says quit. Now, you may not be going up or down right there, but remember that chart. You're enduring. And God wrote a promise about those who endure. You're going to mature. And that's going to be, you're passing the test. Well, some people go, I don't like tests. God tested all through the Bible, not with temptations or sin, always to promote you. Abraham was tested 10 times. Read the Bible. It's a good book. It'll bless you. David was tested 10 times. After Abraham's 10th test, he became father of many nations. After the 10th test with David, he became the greatest king Israel ever had. He passed them. And they're always to promote you. Well, I don't like taking tests. Well, then just stay in first grade. Would you like to, at your age, still be in first grade? How embarrassing would that be? But you have to pass tests, don't you? Is it because they hate you? I know you think they may, and there may be some teachers. They're trying to get rid of you. No, they want you to mature. Is everybody getting this or not? Okay, now, approved faith, proven faith, and character of this sort produces the habit. Oh, that's good. of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Amen. Now, I want to go to the scripture. Let's go to the Bible in Luke 8:14. Let's see what that says. I got it written down, so let's just see what it says. The Lord has given all this to me in the hotel, on the plane in the hotel. So, the seeds. Now, this is the sower and the seeds, you know, where they sow it on good ground, stony ground. Remember that, the Bible? All right. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into what? But God needs you to mature. But you know what's stopping maturity is lack of endurance. We've got to learn how to endure. Now, so 8:14. All right. Now, let's go one more verse. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word and cling to it. One translation says, and they stick with it. They cling to it. And they stick with it. You know what that is on that chart? Enduring. And you know what's about to happen to them? Mature. And they cling to it, and patiently they will produce a huge harvest. Woo! Woo! Amen? Why? Why? They cling to it. They don't quit. Pressure comes. Oh, God. No, cling to it. Cling to what? What you know. What do you know? Get in the Word. Get your time with Him. Get your knowing up. Amen? Now, glory to God. I want to tell you a story. I've told this story before, but it also, this story of this particular team that I coached, there's endurance in this story, and the Lord pointed it out to me, so I want to tell it again. And this story, I have told this story all over, actually, and I happen to be, it's about a baseball team. I've coached high school, college, and pro, and I've been often interviewed and asked, what was your favorite? And it's easily high school because of the love of the game. When you start getting into pros, you're dealing with guys with egos and people who make more money, and it's harder to coach. There's some that are coachable, but not, you know, the percentage drops. College is a lot of fun, but high school was really fun. And I coached this high school team, and when I took the job, they had never won. And last year's USA Today, there was an article in the paper of this program, and it said one of the winningest programs in the nation, this team that I'm about to tell you. But I want to tell you where it all started. Now, I shared this in Hollywood, California, at a church. And that guy knew a producer in Hollywood. And that producer heard this story. And they called and they wanted the script and they did all the background check of it. And it's going through now, all the background check, which they've found out it's all true. And they want to do a movie about it. So it's in the process. A lot of people, I couldn't tell people this, but I'm released, I think, now to do it. If not, I already did it. It's too late. And I said, on two conditions, I'll do the movie. If Tom Cruise plays me, yes. And Danny DeVito plays Steve Munn. Now, they don't even know who Dan, Google him. You'll see who I'm talking about. Now, here is the story. I took over this. Well, I got the job because nobody else wanted it, number one. I didn't find that out until later. But they never won. And I nicknamed this team the Smurfs because they were so short. Some of them were blue, but they were all short. So that made me Papa Smurf, right? All right. But man, I'm telling you, these guys knew how to endure. Now, I took over the job, and I remember the superintendent telling me, he says, you got some rebuilding years ahead of you. And I didn't like hearing rebuilding years. To a champion, that's like, I want to win now. Is anybody like me? They hate to lose. You want to win now. Well, God created you to win, and He wants you to win now. That's why He's teaching you about enduring. Because champions know how to endure. Now get your heads up. Get your knowing up there and endure. Be full of joy. Stay full of joy and endure. You're on that line right there. You're getting ready to bust out of it. A huge harvest is coming because you're about to endure. You keep enduring in a huge harvest. That's a promise in the Bible. A huge harvest is coming. If you're an endurer, a huge harvest is coming. If not, and pressure just sinks you, this is your life. You're going to have good times. You're going to have bad times. You're going to have good times. You're going to have bad times. That's not a champion.
Right.
Amen? Amen? And God created you to be a champion. Now, so I said to my superintendent who hired me, I said, nothing against you, sir. You're my boss. But what do you mean we're going to have rebuilding years? I don't like that word. He said, well, you know how many it takes to play baseball, right? On the field. How many knows when you're on the field?
Nine.
He said, you have the nine guys that started last year, eight of them were seniors, and so they're gone. And the ninth one, he read the writing on the wall. He transferred out. So you have nobody coming back. They're the little brothers of the ones who graduated. Those guys played all their careers. You have nobody coming back with any experience whatsoever. You have nobody who's pitched in a game. The coach didn't play them. You have nobody who's got any at-bats. They're way smaller than their brothers, and that's why they were Smurfy. Named them the Smurfs. And he says, you've got, like it or not, you're going to have some rebuilding years. And I said to him, nothing against you, but I'm going to find me at least nine guys. And we're going to work hard, and we're going to put our goals up, and we're going to do whatever it takes, and we're not going to fall to any pressures. We're going to endure. We don't care what anybody has done. We're going to do whatever it takes to win. We'll win. And so I went out there, and of course, you know how it is when the new coach comes. Everybody wants to come out because they don't know him, and he doesn't know them. So they all come out, and I said, guys, I'm going to find nine, and we're going to win. We're going to do what champions do, and I gave them the speech I'm giving you now. When pressure comes, we're not going to fall. If a loss comes or anything else, we're not going to get our head down. Because that's what champions do. And God created that in you. Now, so I worked them, man. I worked those dudes. I tell you, they're throwing up this and that. And they're dropping like flies. You know what I mean? They're quitting. Every practice, the number got smaller. Kind of like Steve Munn's meetings. Every meeting. Anyway, we're like, come on, stay with me. He's enduring over there. And they kept getting smaller. And I ended up with 11. So when my guys are all on the field, how many do I have in the dugout? Good math. You guys are good. And the two that are in the dugout are smurfier than the Smurfs out there. Now, here's what you got to understand. When you're a coach and you inherit a team and you have uniforms, you don't order all extra small uniforms. You have extra larges, mediums, and a couple smalls. But all my guys are extra small. So you can't cut them and all that because I may get a big guy later or something. So you got to do a lot of tucking and rolling and folding. And I remember the hats went over the ears. They looked like Dopey, you know, And we did not intimidate anybody. When we got off the bus, it looked like 11 bat boys coming to the game. But they were wholehearted, and they worked hard. All right? And so nobody believed in us. And I told those guys, let me tell you something about champions. That verse we just read said, if you keep enduring and you approve your faith, a huge harvest is on its way. And I would tell those little Smurfs about their harvest. I said, you know what champions get? Rings. You know what else they get? Trophies and college scholarships and better looking girlfriends, which you guys need by the looks of you. Now you got their attention. And so we go through that season and man, there was a lot of enduring. The papers never ranked us. Well, who would? You don't have any, you know, returning players. And we fought our way out of 300 and something teams in our class in that state to the state tournament. And only eight go. We were the only unranked team at the state tournament. There was one, there was two, four, five, six, and then a U right by us. Unranked. Underdogs. Underachievers. underwear, unicorn, unicycle. Anything else? Unity. Nice. Unity. Unibrow. I'm going to put that one in. Yeah, unicycle. Okay, we're done. Now, so there we were, and they played at a college facility, and the local TV channels were there, the three channels, ABC, NBC, and Fox, and of the state. And I think that year there were 5,000 to 8,000 somewhere in there, people in the stands, packed out. And we win the first game. So it's single elimination, so now we're down to four. We're in the final four. Now, the older brothers are up there watching us. They never went to state. And they're up there. And I remember talking to the Smurfs before that game, because guess who we're playing in the semifinals? We're playing the number one team who was undefeated for 2 years straight. They were back-to-back state champions going for a three-peat. They had guys who filled out their uniforms. They had many in the dugout. And there we were. And so, and the paper before the game read David versus Goliath, which that was cool. David won. We're David. So we're, really? Out of all that scripture, I get a hand clap on that. All right. Now, so we go out, and I'll never forget when we took the field. I said, guys, look at your brothers. Look at your older brothers up here, never been here. I said, when we win this game, you're going to get their girlfriends. They all went, yeah, woohoo! They never even had one. I said, you'll get theirs. So we took that field, man, baggy uniforms, little bitty. Well, this team never even had close competition whatsoever. They were that good. Nobody even played them close. And they jump out on us about 3 or 4 runs right off the bat first inning. Usually teams lay down and quit. Not us. We were taught to endure. And so we come back and we tied it up. And then they came back and scored a few more. And then we came back and even passed them and went ahead of them about mid to late innings. They got so upset, their coach calls a timeout, gets them outside the dugout and says, would you look over there who's beating you? Look at them. I said, smile and wave, boys. I wish it had went, turned down for what? I heard that earlier, so. Is that a song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard it in the spirit. I don't know. I just. So, he's like, look at them. Their uniforms don't fit. There's none of them over 5 foot tall. They're beating you. This is embarrassing. So, we get into the late part of the game, and whoo, it can go either way. It's a battle. And we had a part where my shortstop, and he was literally short. And you got it. Good, good, good. He was coming around. If he would have scored at this particular play, we'd have won. And then if not, then they get to bat last. And it was kind of one of those games, who batted last won. And he came around, and he's going around third. And I thought he was going to score, and we're going to knock off Goliath the Giant. And he dives in, man, I mean, with everything he's got. He's just Superman in the air going for the plate. Biggest upset in that state's history. And he dives in, and the ball comes, and there's a bang-bang play. Could have went either way, and the umpire calls him out. We lose. See, you clapped while I go for nothing. No. Am I being translated? And okay, all right. All right, just stay with me. I'm telling you stories like this so you'll stay with me. All right, because Steve told me you were all sleeping this morning, and I said, not these guys, they're great. All right, here we go. Now, too cool for what? Come on, brother, I have a little shades on like that. All right, so he calls him out, and I'm looking at my Smurfs. They're just covered with dirt, sweat, blood, and just giving me everything they had, you know, and their team's celebrating. They're going to the finals again for the third year, and they had to fight for everything. And then I had to do what coaches have to do now, which I think is from Satan. and you have to go to a press conference right after you lose. I think, see, they didn't used to do that when I was growing up. They were courteous enough, and they would let you go a day or two, and they would interview the, but then somewhere about in the, I don't know, what, 80s or something, I think Satan got on an ESPN producer's ear and said, let's interview the losing coach. How's it feel? You lost. How's that feel? I mean, right after the battle, you lost. All that work, all that hard work, but it's over. I don't know. Y'all may be better than me right there. But I just want, you know, I just, yeah. But I knew Mom was watching on TV, so I had to. And so I got through that. And I went into the locker room, which wasn't ours, it's a college facility. And, you know, a lot of people, I've seen teams, they're crying like babies after they lose. I see players just crying, snot running. Not our guys, they were mad. Kicking lockers, which we had to pay for later, but because they weren't very big, it didn't do much damage, thank God. And I go in there and I was mad. I wasn't mad at them. I was mad at the result. Now think of those charts. I was mad at the result. I firmly believed in a huge harvest, which God promises you if you endure. If you endure. And I said, I saw a door, and this speech is now in the hallway of this school. Bronze plaque, okay? And I wish I had one of my Smurfs here to do it because they can imitate me better than I can do it. And I don't remember all of it. But what I said changed everything. This is the day that program went from never winning to becoming USA Today, one of the winningest programs in the nation. It happened in that locker room. When? At a pressure defeat type time. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We could have went down. And I said, see that door right there? I said, your mamas and your grandmas and your sisters are outside that door waiting on you. They're waiting to put your arms around you and say, get your head up. It's okay. Nobody expects you to get this far. And I said, they don't do that because they don't love you. God put that love in them. They're motherly. That's what they do. But your daddies are all back somewhere else and they're mad. And I said, when we go out there, I said, just getting here is not good enough for me. It's not good enough for me. We didn't work this hard and do all this stuff just to get here. I said, now they're going to play for your championship rings. They're going to play for your trophy. They're going to play for your girlfriend. I said, there's got to be something more we can do. And Josh stood up and said, Coach, I know what we can do. And I said, Josh, don't give me anything from the head. I need it from the heart. And he did, and I knew it was. And he said, Coach, if we're going to do what you want us to do, and he turned around to the other Smurfs and he said, if we're going to get, look, he said, guys, look, nobody expected us to get here. Everything Coach Brim has said this and do this, we've done it. Nobody expected us here. He said, now it's not good enough for me either. Is it for you? And the other Smurfs said, no. And so he said, Coach, work us harder. Practice us harder. I said, Josh, I practice you hard. He said, if we're going to get what you said we're going to get, then do it. Let's do it more. Well, I had another guy stood up, and here's where it comes. He said, Coach, I know what we can do. And I said, what? I have never had, listen, I've coached on all levels. I have spoke at coaches' clinics. I know thousands of coaches on all levels and never, ever had a coach tell me that a player told him this. And the player gets up in that locker room and he says, Coach, why don't you run us more in conditioning? Don't just condition us after practice. Condition us before practice. That way, listen to what he says. That way, when we get here at the end of the season, we will be so conditioned and we will have so much endurance that we'll be able to finish the state championship. Endurance. Work us then we'll know. We'll come in here knowing nobody outworked us. We'll come in here knowing it. That knowing. Count it all joy, what? knowing this. What is it you know when that pressure comes? What is it you don't know when that pressure comes? Because joy is what you know. And if you know that, you can win. And you'll stay right there and you'll maintain and you'll stick it out. And then guess what? Whoop, you're going to go up again. God will make sure of it. Now, and so I said, okay, guys, who's in this? I said, put your hands right here if you're in it. If you believe it. And all 11 Smurfs looked at me and it went from mad to grinning, and they knew something special had happened. And so we broke out of there and walked out of that locker room, and there was Mama and Grandma and everybody trying to consult everybody, and they were like, I'm good, Grandma, Grams, I'm good, we're good. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, okay, well, good. Good for you. And it started right then. And so I took them back, and when we started our off season at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're throwing up and we're working hard, I reminded them of what they told me. And I reminded them at the end, are we going to be able to endure? I said, there's going to be pressure and targets on your back. Everybody's going to be coming at you. Now that you've been to the state tournament and you did that, you're going to face everybody's best pitcher. There's going to be ups and downs and pressures and trials and temptations, but we're going to endure. We're going to endure. That's what we're working for. We got to get that knowing in us so that we can do it. We got to get that knowing in us. And so we did. And boy, you didn't want to play us that year. And we went right back to the state tournament. And there we were. And the final eight. And we run ruled the first team. Y'all know what a run rule is? There's no clock in baseball like there is in football and basketball and soccer and other things. So in baseball, since there's no clock, if you don't have a rule, you could just play forever and kill that team. So they have a mercy rule, or some states call it a run rule. After so many runs, they stop the game after the third, fifth, or whatever. And that usually doesn't happen in the state tournament. Well, we run rule that first team. So we're in the semifinals now. We run rule that team. Now we're in the finals. This time there were 10,000 people at this game, all on TV, and the Smurfs are back. And there's 10,000 people there. And I remember on the bus, we're getting ready to get off the bus into the stadium, and I'm looking on the bus and seeing tops of hats, you know what I'm talking about. And a hand comes up, and I said, yeah. And he goes, Coach, we know you're a man of faith, but I want to tell you something, what the boys did last night. I said, what? Well, I called them all over, and we prayed. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, but it's what we prayed about. I said, you didn't pray that you're going to win, did you? I said, you can't do that. He loves everybody over there. He's got Christians over there. You don't do that. You got to work hard. You can pray that you'll be protected, and you can pray that he'll help you to bless you to play your best ability, but you got to do work too. He goes, no, we didn't pray that. I said, well, what did you pray? He said, we all prayed that we would play this team again today. That was the team that beat them last year. Now, they're still undefeated, and they're going for their fourth state championship in a row. Our team prayed, because they played the night before, that they wouldn't lose so that we could get to play them tomorrow in the finals. We didn't want to face anybody else. Yeah. They wanted to face them. We went through that pressure that time. We want them. Right. They wanted their huge harvest. We've endured. This is harvest time. And so they went off that bus and we played. And I'm telling you, about the second or third inning, we're winning so bad. It's like 15-0, about third inning. They'd never been beaten 4 years. We're beating them so bad. Well, there's no run rule in the finals. That was a rule they had. So we're beating them, and all of a sudden I smell this terrible smell. You know, if you're on a field, you'll smell grass and dirt and maybe popcorn or whatever. And you smell stuff like that, but you don't smell this smell. This was like a old English leather. Remember the Brute by Fabergé? I'm talking about what our grandpas used to wear. You know what I'm talking about? Real old, old, terrible cologne. And I thought, where does that smell? And I looked down, and all of the older gentlemen who were on the state association, the commissioner and the president and the vice president, all in their suits, They come down from the suites up in the press box, and they came down in our dugout. And they said, "Chip, there is no run rule in the state. Fight." And my guys were getting ready to bat, so they're all around me. And I said, "Well, what are you saying?" He says, "Lay off. Stop. Make outs. Do this, do that." And my kids are watching me, and I said, nothing against you, sir, but this is their day. And if we're going to beat them, if we beat them 100 to nothing, we're going to beat them 100 to nothing. We're not going to have no mercy. And my team went, "Yeah, tell them, coach." I'm like, settle down. They want me to hit him or something. I don't know. So they said, the other guy said, "This will cost you the coach of the year." One guy said, "This will cost you this or that." I said, "Whatever it costs me, they've been working hard for this. They deserve it. This is their day." And everyone of them little smurfs high-fived me, you know, down here. So we went out there and we scored about 10 more runs. We're going to beat them by 100 nothing. We're going to beat them 100, 1,000, whatever. Doesn't matter. We're beating them so bad they like it. It's bad. And so the innings are going on. All of a sudden, I smell that smell again. So they're back in my dugout. And they come and they said, "The other team quits." They quit. "Is it all right with you?" I said, "We're state champs, right?" He goes, "Yeah, you win." They quit. They don't want to play anymore. It's embarrassing. And so when they gave the trophy presentation, those old guys got up there and gave the longest, boringest speeches. Oh, my goodness. And you get your rings later. You order your rings, but they hand you medals and stuff. And so they had all the deal out there. "We would like to thank the janitors of both schools. And we would like to thank, we're really wanting to get our trophy." And so Josh, my shortstop, goes up during the speech and goes, "That's ours. Thank you very much." I had to grab it. Sorry. Endure the speech, guys. Just endure the speech. So we finally got it. And the story doesn't end there. We won state, of course. And we won it the next year. The next year. The next year. The next year. And since then, they have won 29 state championships. And when you walk... And this little town's in the middle of a cornfield off of Highway 40. And if you go in there and you walk down that little school hallway, you'll see 29 gold state championships. And when you get to the middle of them, there's that one. They put it on a pedestal with that speech. All right? And then there's a picture of the Smurfs. And every year, the coaches come back and remember. They said, "This is where it started. This is how this whole program, what you're playing for, started." They never forget that. They take the team down, they set them, they read that speech, and then they go and they start from there. It's become the winningest. That's a huge harvest. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But there was enduring in all of that. Right. Amen? Yeah. All right. Now, and who knows, maybe a movie, and they may be taking their kids to that. Glory to God. So, how to endure? How do you endure? Okay? How to endure? God told Joshua to what? Meditate on the word day and night. What did Paul say? Think about these things. Anything that is pure, just, when pressure and temptations come, you've got to know. Keep your knowing. When it comes, keep your knowing. Don't let it go. Maintain. Stick with it. Because you're going to receive a huge harvest. Now, one of the greatest illustrations of this is David. When David was anointed king, it was 10 to 13 years, they don't have it exactly down, before he became king. And that's where those 10 tests from God were. And it was 10 to 13 years of pressure and hell running for his life. And then all of a sudden, the final test comes. And this was the final test that God said and anointed him king. Brandon and I were talking about this today. He reminded me of it. And it was at Ziklag. Now, here's David who had what? Had he had some victories? Yeah. Had David had some victories? The lion and the bear? Has he had some? Yeah. And he gets to this point. How about Goliath? And he gets to this point and he comes back to his town. Now, he was sent out by God on a trip. He comes back and his town is gone. Can you imagine that? If you went back to your town, your school, well, you'd probably be glad there, but burnt down, your town, no places to eat, all the supermarkets. And not only that, everybody you loved, all your friends, all your family, gone. Gone. Not some of it there, gone. And you know what David did? He laid down and cried. Oh, goodness. Now we're looking at his chart. David was here, 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 here. He lays down and cries until he has no more tears. That's a lot of crying. And there's a lot of people in here right now, you can relate to that. That's where you're at. You've had so, you know what? There may have been a bad hand dealt with you, whatever's going on at home or at school or whatever. But that crying and that laying down to pressure just about killed him. He came seconds away from dying. And he lays down and cries. And if you study that out, he cries out to God. Why? Have you ever done that? Come on. We all have. He cries out to God. You want to talk about pressure like pressure nowhere before. Everybody gone. And his men, who nobody believed in, and he believed in them, the world's outcast, he took them in. He trusted them. Those were his Smurfs. He trained up those mighty men to be champions. And those men turned on him. Those were his closest family members. Let me tell you something. When you've been a part of a team on the professional level or college level or high school level, and you go all the way through all those pressures and enduring, and you get to that place, you're a family. Family's not just because it's your same last name. It's people you sweat with, you win with, you cry with, you laugh with, you lose with. That's why you need a good family. That's why you need a good youth group. That's family. That's family. That's important. And his family turns on him. His real family, his wives are gone. He's cried to God. Guess what answer he got? Cricket, cricket. Nothing. Maybe you're not hearing from him. God's not moved by need. He's not moved by David's need. He's moved by faith. And you know what he needs to do? He's got some knowing in there. He needs to endure right now. This is the biggest pressure of his life. And as a result of what he did next, he was then anointed the king, the greatest king Israel ever had. God said, that's my boy, you passed the test. And what did he do next? They get stones. Now, if you've ever been in Israel, don't think of stones like this when they stone somebody. They're two-hand stones, and they'll crush your skull one stone. So here's hundreds getting ready to kill him. They're seconds away from killing David. Oh, God wouldn't have let that happen. No, that's David's choice. It's choice. And David got up. Does anybody read the Bible? And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you know what that means? Himself. Nobody else was there. He had nobody else. He had lost everything. But he encouraged himself. You know what he did? How do you encourage yourself? I was talking to Creflo about this. Creflo was studying on this. He said, the only way you can encourage yourself is you have to remind yourself of the good things. You have to remind yourself of what God has done for you. Has God blessed anybody in here? Has God saved anybody in here? Has God healed anybody in here? So everybody with your hand up, or put your hand up if God has done something for you. Then when that pressure comes, that's when you need to count it all joy. Why? Because I remember the lion, I remember the bear, I remember Goliath, and he got excited. And all of a sudden, because he encouraged himself, what does he do? He hears from the Lord. Well, why didn't he hear him down there? Because he was in care. He was in need. But when he got up, he said, wait a minute, God's good. Wait a minute, I'm not going to die. I remember the lion and the bear. I remember the giant. I remember, hey, Abathar, the priest, get the ephod. We're going into the Holy of Holies. Whoo! Well, why didn't he hear it down there in his tears? Because he couldn't hear. You can't hear God in pressure and need and care. You're not enduring. You hold fast. Remember what that one scripture says? Stick with it. Yeah. Stick with it. That's what champions do. There's nobody, we're hearing messages that it's great messages of victory. And we can go from victory to victory, but you're going to have to endure. And I want you to know that you can endure. And when you do endure, everybody, you will mature. Those who endure will mature. Amen? Anybody get anything out of this? All right, I got another verse. Oh, what's that other verse? Did I write another verse down there, 2 Thessalonians? Okay, good, because I didn't write it down here. Let's look at it. I was sharing this with Steve in the back. Steve, you got something? Because I may let these guys out early. Wow. I know who said that. Who's running this place? All right. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help. This is Paul. Watch this. Everybody watch. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you. Why? Because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Click. We proudly tell God's other churches about your what?
Endurance.
About your what?
Endurance.
Now watch what endurance is connected to. Your endurance and faithfulness. You know what God said about faithful people? He said in Proverbs, a faithful man or woman, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Everybody say abound.
Abound.
What do you think of when you hear abound? I think of 29 state championships. That's abounding. Come on now. I think of better looking girlfriends. Not me, I'm married. Oh, come on. Stay with me, though. You understand what I'm saying? Abound. God said, that's a promise. And if you're not abounding like you would like to be abounding, then don't accuse the word of not being true. Check up on your faithfulness. Are you faithful when that pressure comes? Are you faithful when you're at home and you have time and you're doing whatever you're doing and that's okay, but are you giving God time? Because that's what's going to, that knowing part right there, that's what's going to get you to endure. And you guys need to hear this. As much as it's not as, woo-hoo, and let's run around the building, your champions and all champions must endure. Don't be afraid of it. And once you endure for that first time, man, that second time comes on, bring it on, buddy. I know what to do. You built the foundation. Amen. That first state runner-up and then the state championship and then it goes on and on and on and on and you'll receive a big harvest. Amen. So next time pressure comes, let's finish this. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. Click. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make sure you're worthy of his kingdom. God will make sure you're worthy. You're worthy. That's my girl. That's my boy. All that peer pressure, that's my girl. That's my girl. That's my boy. All that stuff coming at you, that's my boy. That's it right there. I got your back. I got you. Let's go. Keep enduring. Keep maintaining. Stick with it. Stick with it. Come on, stick with it. Don't go back down. Remember that chart. Y'all remember the charts? Come on, don't go back down. Then you're going to have to come back up, and then you go back down. You're going to be the same place 10 years from now. There's too many people in youth groups. 10 years later, same problems. You want to know why? They don't know how to endure. Champions endure. Now let's endure. Let's learn how to endure. Let's be endurers. Amen. We have the privilege and opportunity to endure. The Lord just told me somebody else who could play me in that movie, The Rock. Are y'all? Steve, you sure you didn't got it? Rick, you got something? Come on, tag team, anybody, you got it? Come on, let's talk endurance. You got something? You got something on endurance? You could come get up here. Get up here, both of you. Both of you. Look at him. I don't have anything. No, Chip. Both of you. Because I know something's coming out here.
Give this to him in just a minute. You know, the thing that jumped in me, of course, when Chip was sharing this back here, you know, several years ago, the Lord spoke to us, and then he confirmed it through a word from you.
Oh.
And the Lord says, you never say you're tired.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The Lord said, never say you're tired. When you need sleep, get sleep. When you need rest, get rest.
Yeah.
But never say you're tired, because that's a natural response to weakness.
Mm.
And we're not of the slave woman, the natural, but we are of the supernatural, Galatians 5:31 in the Amplified Bible, which says freedom. And when you walk in this endurance level, endurance doesn't even know how to spell quit, let alone speak it.
Come on, come on.
Because it's not in the kingdom vocabulary.
No.
No, come on. We've adopted that to excuse ourselves from giving the fullness of our supernatural identity. No, we've adopted that in our vocabulary just so we can feel good about not giving the second effort.
That's good. Second effort.
And God intends for us,
come on,
to build ourselves
to
a place of endurance.
Yes.
But the scripture that came to mind when you were finishing up here was in Galatians 6:9. Can I read it?
Yeah.
I'm going to anyway. Read the Bible. What'd you say?
It's a good book. It'll bless you.
It's a good book. It'll bless you. I like that. I'm going
to
use
that.
Where
you at, Galatians?
Did you get that from me? All right. Galatians 6:9. I just took it. You need something, Blondie? Oh, okay. Just want to make sure. He says, and let us not. Are you ready for this?
Get tired.
And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time.
Come on.
No, wait. Where's our endurance? In time now. Seed, time, harvest. Endurance is in time.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. The fulfillment of the season is when the harvest comes. But that's the fulfillment. But you got to pay attention to the time. Mm. Because in the time, here it is.
Mm, that's good.
This is the time.
There it is. There it is.
Right here. And then the closer you get to the end of your season, guess what happens?
Yeah, harvest.
Time starts to climb.
Yeah.
And before long, you get to a place where you can't do anything but receive a harvest. Because you've already done your time. And you did it with endurance. That means what? You stepped into it with a mindset that I didn't get in this to just do it. I got into it to win it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not in it to do it. I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
So are you catching this, man? This is a supernatural deposit of an understanding that Chip has brought, Coach has brought us, that it is time to get to the level of endurance.
Yeah, let's get there.
Come on, man.
Let's get there.
I mean, everything about failure has to do with quitting.
Yeah.
not going the distance. You get involved in marriage, you got to go the distance. You're getting involved in life, you got to go the distance. You get involved in Christianity, you got to go the distance. Man, it's not always going to be pleasant, but I got to tell you, the end result is glorious. Don't make me come out there. So, now listen, let me finish up, and I'll get this so over good. To the Rev here, the California Rev.
Rev it.
It says, for in due time, God is not like man that he should lie. So if he said it, that settles it. He says in due time. He's got your back. Right, bud?
Oh, goodness.
Don't make me come over there.
Come on.
Get out. And in due time, he goes, come on.
Get out out there. Get on.
And in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not, listen to this, loosen and relax our courage and faint.
Mm.
Go the distance. Endurance says fainting, relaxing, and quitting is not in my agenda. I got in it to win it. It's time to charge.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, give it to him. That scripture in New Living says, never get tired of doing what is good. Because just at the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings. If, everybody say if, you don't give up.
Wow. What translation?
New Living Translation. Second edition. But. All right, go ahead.
Now I'm sitting in the back, and Brother Chip is preaching. And I feel like running laps right now. I mean, how can you sit in here and hear a message like this and not feel like jumping off a building like Superman or Spider-Man? Now, listening to that story about the baseball team, the Smurfs, my whole life they told me that I was a Smurf because of the color of my skin, because I couldn't read and couldn't write, because I was a professional cheater in school because I never did my homework. So my whole life I heard what these Smurfs were hearing, but one day, somebody
Come
say
on.
One day.
One day.
Somebody sent me a coach just like you. See, they were still Smurfs, but somebody told them something different.
Come
now
on.
Watch this.
Ooh, I like
they
it. I like
started
it.
Repeating what you said.
That's right.
But you, as the coach, had to choose what to say because the board, the principal, whoever's in charge of the sports at that school, told you from the get-go, this is what you should say, but you said, I will not say that.
No.
I have something else to say.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and what you said changed the course of that school. And here it is.
Come on.
Revelations 12:11. And they overcame him. Now, the him part is what you need to overcome. And the him part here was that they were not having any return ball players. They never won anything. They don't know what it smells like to win. They never had a winning season. That was the him.
Yeah, that's right.
And you knew that him.
Yeah.
And you knew that we could overcome that him.
Yeah, I
but
got
you had to say something to that him. Now, I'm back there listening to Brother Chip preach, and I'm like, find me a hymn.
Let's go. That's how you mature.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, the blood of the Lamb is I got Jesus covering me. The blood of Jesus is covering me. I never enter a battle without being covered by the blood.
Amen.
But watch this. And by the word of their testimony. You need to get some type of word to say.
Amen. That's right.
In order to come him.
Yeah.
Now.
That's right.
Now, a winning team is only as good as the leader of the team.
Right. Yeah.
In any sport, you know, when you watch boxing and the guy is really losing and he's in the 10th round and he's losing, he's only good enough. He's only good enough as his coach in the ring. If his coach is saying, "Well, we lost this one, it's over.
Yeah.
This guy is gonna. He's you know, you might as well throw in. Would you like me to throw in the white towel?" I mean, he's only going to go with what the coach is saying. But if the coach is in his corner saying, "We got this. Right. We can win him. You have that punch." He's going to take those words in, and he's going to repeat those words in his mouth. My coach believes in me.
Yeah.
I'm going to start saying what I'm hearing. This is what the scripture's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
We only can overcome by words. And Chip knew if he could get words into these Smurfs, that rhymed a little bit, words in the Smurf, they could see the end of the tunnel, and it was the championship. Now, tonight, I don't know about you, but I feel like running laps right now because I'm so stirred up on what you're saying. I'm telling myself, he's preaching to me. I'm almost at the touchdown line here. Keep telling me
Stick
how to get there.
Come on.
Are you hearing this tonight? He's given us something to say, and it's called endurance.
Ooh, let's be endurers.
We need to look at the hymn and say, "Baby, I ain't going down. I'm still standing. I have what it takes for me to take you out."
Yeah, that's good.
But what you're saying gives me their endurance. Now, take away what you're saying and leave me out here on my own.
Huh.
I become a grasshopper now among the giants.
Yeah.
So what he's saying tonight, and he read all these scriptures. He didn't read these scriptures to burn time. He was giving us something to say.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, man. I tell you, Brother Chip, you got
Praise
me stirred
God.
Up
Praise
tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Thank I'm an God. Overcomer because of what he's saying. Say amen, somebody.
Listen. You got something else? Listen. Smith Wigglesworth, I wish I could quote this exactly. Maybe somebody knows it. But every time something, pressure or an attacker come, he said, "Another opportunity." He would always, see that? That's champion talk right there. This is an opportunity. Champions see enduring as an opportunity. I'm totally convinced with all my heart that all of those years of coaching, listen to me now, everybody, just right now, all those years of coaching were not just for Chip, have a good career, have fun. I'm convinced the season of the Smurfs and everything was for you. I'm totally convinced. All that happened for you tonight. You know why? Because you know why? There's an inner Smurf in every one of you. There's a champion. God created you a champion. He created man to dominate. Have dominion and win. Man fell, enemy came. All right, now, you're going to have to endure. It's not a big deal. See it as an opportunity. But it's time, guys, at your age, you need to hear, because you're going to endure a lot. It's coming. But champions know how and know why. It's the knowing. So when that comes, I want you to see that graph. And that point is the pressure. Some of you may be going through it right now. You're either going to go down or you're going to endure and go up. Because enduring always leads to maturing. And it's time we mature. Because you're the generation that God needs. Generation after generation of young people have come. He needs a mature generation spiritually, supernaturally. Amen? Glory to God. I'm good. What do we got? We got any skits or giveaway or anything like that? Go. Come on up. Hey. Guys, tomorrow morning, I'm going to speak tomorrow morning. I'm telling you, don't miss. I bet your parent, you'll take this to your parents. Take this to your churches. It's a revelation of that God gave me recently, and it has something to do with the blessings. I shared it at our church. We got some kids here from our church, and on a Wednesday night. Now listen to me.
on that Sunday, we couldn't preach on that Sunday. We had so many blessing testimonies. And then it went into the next week, okay? So I want you to come, be ready, be wide awake. Don't stay up too late tonight. All right? But do y'all want to listen to Go or hear Go or see another skit or something like that? Did you get anything tonight?